in this world we live in, there's runners and there's fighters. All your fists is all a fighter, and I know one when I see one.
Here we go. Thanks again for listening. I told you I broke these up into a couple different episodes. So this will be step four for episode two of the four-step program. And if you like the podcast, you know, give it a little five-star rating. That stuff helps. And follow me on all socials at Scotty K on Air. This is the final step of this week's episode, and it's about Black Twitter. That's right. Last week, Brandon told us there's Black Twitter, which is a whole different perspective. I love hearing it. And they talk about all kinds of different things that are maybe more important to the culture or just more interesting to the culture of the African-American community. So Brandon's going to break down what are people talking about on Black Twitter this week. And Dan Levy, longtime friend, longtime radio dude, who just found out Black Twitter exists, is also on the podcast.
All right, it's time for my favorite part. Brandon, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Black Twitter. Now, yes. Brandon, you're here. But Dan, you're going to be here for this. You didn't know there was a Black Twitter, huh?
Is it called Blitter or Bladder?
No, man. Black Twitter. Just Black Twitter.
Basically, what we decided last week is Black Twitter it's obviously Twitter, but it is from a different perspective. Something that you and I
are not
skin tone
to.
Wise. That, yeah, it's just different conversations, but or the same conversation with different perspectives, right?
I feel so excluded.
But there's also
you could join. You just got to follow certain people. You can. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's not like blocking nobody out.
And it's funny because in the studio we have a very white studio, and so Brandon will give Black Twitter updates like what are people talking about on Black Twitter. So what's this? What are the hot topics this week, Brandon?
Well,
Black
now
Twitter?
it's very common because I think it's also on. We don't call it white Twitter, by the way. It's just called Twitter.
Wait, I have more questions.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
You can't just say there's a Black Twitter and just go. What else is there? Who is the who? What other people are on this? Is it
well,
every
if you
black listen person
to the first episode of the podcast?
Is it every black person in America? Is it or
mostly?
Just like,
it's mostly like that. It's like just certain media influencers and stuff like that.
Like
that's
who?
In the media? Like
is it a Stephen A. Smith?
Stephen A. Smith is a part of it, but see, he goes both ways. But it's like, it depends on who you all follow. So it's like certain people to follow. Like say, if you want sports. Some people would only maybe follow Stephen A. Smith, or I'm trying to think of somebody else. Right,
so it's pretty much head. You guys just stop following white people.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of harsh.
I mean, no, there's Peter Rosenberg. Yeah, he's
in it.
He's white. Yeah, he's
more than white. He's one of us.
Right. So
he's tribal.
I mean, it's just more about the culture and what's going on from like the black culture or black perspective, whether that's music, entertainment,
Like while we might be talking about. Like an Ariana Grande or Justin Bieber, they're talking about a different maybe artist or like a just a different artist. Yeah.
I think you could actually go through every single one of my tweets and figure out right now there is nothing about Ariana Grande or white. It has everything to do with food, maybe a little bit of porn, and that's about it.
But the kind of food would probably even be telling. Like you probably don't have a lot of soul food in there, right?
I have ribs. There's brisket. There's a lot of chicken.
We got ribs and chicken.
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
A little collard greens, mac and cheese.
You just talked about making some
greens.
Kind of...
Yeah. I did make a chicken chili, but that's just for health.
Gotcha.
Nothing wrong with
it. Not really healthy.
Nothing wrong with chili at all.
It really was chicken chili. The chicken's about to expire, so let's make a chili.
It's more about not wasting food, which is fair.
See, my Twitter is non-denominational.
Okay. You guys, so it's Twitter, but from a different perspective.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So this, what are people talking about?
So
about
the main
Twitter
thing
today?
Now, I mean, now it's actually universal. So it's about Juice WRLD. The main thing is about Juice WRLD. What's going on with him? His death, especially because he's from here in Chicago too. So that's really hard. And then the other one is obviously about Nick Cannon versus Eminem.
Okay,
so
let's start
the main two.
Let's start with Juice WRLD.
Let's do it.
I'm interested if there's another perspective on what's going on with Juice WRLD because I do think that there's on Twitter you might just see a. Oh, it's another rapper that did something.
Yeah.
But there's a culture behind what has been what happens, right? So in that culture, like this is a kid. Juice WRLD is a guy who grew up without a dad. He like listened to certain rappers talking about how they use the lean and use these different drugs, and that was this was his world. Like he's like, oh cool, I want to be cool like that.
White guy question.
Yeah.
What is lean?
Lean is
good question.
Prescription coding.
You know, the scissor? Scissor?
Yeah, the scissor.
Oh, okay.
So it's that mixed in with, like, Sprite And sometimes people like to be a little fancy and put Jolly Ranchers or Skittles in, like, yeah, some type of candy.
Have you ever sampled this before?
No, no. I see what it does to certain rap. Like, yeah, but the effects, and you drink so much, people get addicted to it and stuff. And it's really a bad. Lot of rappers that, like, really pass from that. Because this is the whole, like, lean kind of, like, era right now, currently.
Lil Wayne had a problem with it for a while. Yeah.
The Scissor, I understood that.
That's what it is.
I didn't realize
it.
So it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Gotcha. Legendary rapper Pimp C of UGK. Yeah. He died from it. So, yeah, now you, well, Juice WRLD, they say, like, it was pills mixed in with some other stuff.
Well, they were saying he was popping pills.
Yeah. So the big thing on our perspective with it is normally, obviously, when he dies, we just, you know, honoring his career and, like, right, pretty much music. Endo was very short. But hearing about all the reports and stuff like that, the one thing that we kind of find weird about it, it was a report that the pilot on the flight kind of told the feds that there were, like,
so
drugs.
I did hear that he was ratted out. I didn't know from who. So on the plane, Dan, I don't know if you know the story, because it's all coming out today and yesterday. But
I just heard there were 70 pounds of weed.
There were 70 pounds of weed.
70 pounds of weed. Right, 71 pounds of weed.
Which we decided was about, what, $140,000, $150,000 worth, street value worth of weed. If, like, a pound of weed is about $2,000, let's say, roughly, give or take.
Yeah.
And then there were a bunch of guns and magazines, and there was metal piercing bullets too, which
metal
was interesting,
bullets,
right?
Codeine was there, and then obviously Oxycontin and all this.
Yes, and so
wait,
what they're saying,
is there a different TSA for private jets? How does that work?
I asked that today. So Katie, who used to work for a record label, like, she's, you know, been around artists and has taken a couple private jets with them. I asked that. Apparently, you don't go through any TSA or security when you fly private. You just walk in, you walk right to your plane,
because
and hop on.
I've been around athletes, and I've been around professional stadiums, and usually the TSA will get the players going out of a stadium. So even though they have a private jet, there is a TSA for
them. But they're going as a team.
Right.
No, so this was...
But they're going to a private jet.
Right, but if they go separately, I'm sure that might be the NFL also.
NBA, like, well, yeah.
Or NBA, sorry, yeah. So I don't know for sure, but I do know that if you would just, like, an individual, this is an individual flying private, he's going on there, there's no one really checking. Now, he heard that the feds were waiting for him, right?
Correct.
So he took, he tried to hide the Percocet?
He tried to hide the pills, so they said he took several
different
pills,
kinds.
But it was just different kinds of pills, and he took, and then they say when he was going through there...
You mean he's going to just dump it out of the flight?
Right. I mean, I guess.
I don't think you can just open the window on a mid-flight.
Let it rain.
Took it all, and then next thing you know, he had the seizure. And then they say when the paramedics came, he was bleeding out of his mouth. That was another.
Well, yeah, when you take narcotics
right
like
out.
That.
Yeah.
Well, it's something that I don't, you know, he's had a problem with for a while, too, because, I mean, there's pictures and videos I've seen, like, even some of my old radio friends that have done interviews with him. There's pictures that they posted. They're like, why did no one intervene on all this? Because he was literally falling asleep in the middle of interviews. Like, there was a problem with the drugs.
He literally had an album, too, with another rapper called World on Drugs.
Like,
So, I mean, literally, I mean, he was telling, and then, he admitted to taking it all the time. So, like, that's the new era now of rap right now. So, yeah, that happens all the time.
I was going to pull up. There was an article I saw. I don't know if I saved it or pulled it up. But there was all these different people that he looked up to, right? These artists that put out these albums. And that was the culture they talked about, the drug culture that they talked about. And that was who he had as a role model. And that's what he had as a guy that's now 21 years old or, you know, passed away 21 years old.
Yeah.
Without a dad. You know, and these are the things that he talked about were the people that he looked up with that did these things.
Well, I understand that there is a lot of issues within that culture, but without a dad is just one of many bad. I mean,
sure,
it might not even be a bad thing. There's a lot of people I know who grew up without dads who have not resulted to a drug culture. And I think it's more along the lines of what you said, the people that are around you,
that
the people
the
on
key.
That flight,
that is the key.
The people that you are choosing to have around you. If there is a mom there, maybe she needs to be the person that says, hey, you know what? Just because you got your boys with you, I'm sending uncle, whoever to go, make sure you're doing
good.
Or make sure there's somebody, like I said, if you're part of a crew, then you should have at least one person there that's actually looking out for your benefit and not, how much can we get off of this guy?
Well, can't be having a whole bunch of yes men around you.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with Derrick Rose. He had those people around him that he...
he had his brother. He had family talking for him.
And but that was not a good... From what I understand, that core of people were not good for him, around him, because he made all this money, and yes, he was from a rough part of town here in Chicago, and he had his crew, he brought him up, whether it's his boys or his family, And he, man, he was not, those people were not there. They were instigators and they were enablers and they were not the people helping him and bringing him up. They were feeding off of his fame and his money.
They're eating off the corpse, if you will.
Yep.
What I think that the rap culture needs to do, and the NBA does this, the NFL does this, they have like a rookie combine where all the rookies that got signed, they go through these courses and they have guys who lost all their money in the NBA or guys who've done drugs. And they've had people that say, hey, listen, you're about to make a lot of money. So here are the people you need to talk to. You should probably, you know, have everybody that handles your money get audited. I once heard Cisco once came to our college back in the day.
Like Thong Song Cisco?
Yes. And he came in and he said that he once had a lot of people take a lot of his money. So every 6 months, he was auditing everybody that even came within his money. So somebody needs to be there for rappers and just, hey, listen, here are the basic guides. I know you guys are probably around a drug culture, but that's not how this is ran. You guys can be you can come off as gangsters or drug dealers and things of that nature, but when you want to boil it down to brass tacks, here's what you should probably, here's a guideline. So here's a playbook.
But with that, I think the thing is with that, though, I think neither side respects one another. Like, I think the current generation now just looks at the older generation like, oh, you old, this is our time, and, you know, we living in the moment. And then I think the older generation is like, I don't like this core music. Y'all messing up, you know, hip-hop or something like that. So it's not a respect on either level. So I think that's one of the problems,
too. That sounds like
a
millennial thing.
I mean, I think
that's a millennial thing.
But that's what I think, too, because some of these rappers, I saw interviews with some of these older rappers were trying to help out some of the younger ones, and they like, oh, he just an old head. He's just hating. He's just jealous. He don't know. And some of these artists, too, are not about, like, being great or being the best at that time. They're just in it for that one quick hit just to get paid real quick. If I just had this one big hit, get paid, that's all I need.
Not the long game.
Yeah, not the long game. Because most of these went with the rookie stuff, you're trying to be in it for the long run. Mm. So that's the thing with that.
The thing that I don't understand is how are people making money off a hit? Is it by touring? Because, I mean, I feel like music, you can't buy music that would be profitable for somebody.
No, yeah. It's like a mixture. It depends on what your country gets. Streams, touring.
If you're going to go to a concert, I would think you'd need more than one hit for people to come out and see somebody.
Yes and no. I mean, so artists, one, you don't need a radio hit anymore to pack a house, right? So you can have the one hit and then you can have your social media following and you become big that way. You become an influencer. Like, there's so many ways now to pack a stadium full of people. I mean, right now you could probably take all the best dancers on TikTok and go do a TikTok tour and pack the state, which that is a great freaking idea.
I was going to say, if somebody can do it, then
you know, right. So, and they don't need a hit on the radio, right?
You, Mr. So You Think I Can Dance, Volume 1, 2, and 3.
A long time ago, Dan. Quit bringing up my past. Brandon, though, we're going to circle back to you because, I heard that somebody ratted him out to the feds. You heard it. So it was the pilot? Is that who it was?
Yeah, it was reported that the pilot did it. I don't know why.
They didn't go into it.
But probably maybe just looking out for himself. Maybe, you know, sometimes it's like, I don't like this guy. I don't trust this guy.
Oh, yeah, maybe just, who knows why?
Young guy, maybe. Who knows? Like, I really don't know.
Well, because I think he's also trying to say, hey, listen, I had nothing
I don't
want to
go down with this, too, because a lot of his people are going to go down. Like, his bodyguards now are going down because they had those weapons on there. So,
but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's just something that actually maybe helps change that culture. Hey, listen, if you're going on a flight, if you're going to do something, of course, when things go down, not everybody's going to say, I got him. Especially when your money guy dies. Everybody turns on each other.
Yeah. It's really going to be like a wait and see approach when it comes to this. Because, like, a lot of rappers now, I saw some people react to it, like the people who are taking lean and drugs and all that stuff. And they're like, I'm going to stop. But I've heard this before.
You heard it before.
Because other rappers probably died just earlier this year on the same stuff and nothing.
Every culture has that too. And they don't. You know, you saw Avicii just, had a lot of mental health problems and wasn't taking care of himself.
Mac Miller,
you know, people go through this honeymoon stage where they're like, I'm gonna make a change. It's the New Year's resolution, right? Like, by the end of January, like, you forgot you made that resolution, you go back to it's a bad habit.
This gym membership is dusty.
Right. You have to
dusty
to break habits. You have to make consistent change, and I think the consistent part is the thing where people misstep, obviously. But I mean, there's also other sides. Addiction is a real thing, you know, when it comes down to it. So you got to get the right help as well. If you're just saying you're gonna make a change and you're not taking the right steps, your actions have to meet your ambition, and if they don't, then you're not going to pass.
Well, we always talk about things like awareness.
Right.
And I was never really aware of a lot of these things. And to be honest, I never.
That's a good point,
In my fairness, I don't exactly get out a lot. Uh-huh. I never heard of this guy until He had one big hit. But that's fine. But he died, and then I was like, it was a seizure at 21 years old. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm like, oh, my God, what happened to that guy? You know what I mean? I want to know at 21 years old what happened.
Right.
And then when they start saying drugs and that kind of stuff, you're like, okay, that makes a little more sense in my world. Now that it makes sense, how do we fix this?
Right.
So as a culture, everybody should say, hey, listen, this is Stack It Up. Everybody should maybe try to help out this one a little bit because drugs don't have to be the culture of rap.
It's been different perspectives, too.
Because, I was going to ask what other perspectives are out there.
One artist by the name of Jordan Lucas, he was saying the point that, like, how music has changed pretty much to the point of where, like, before, like, music back in the days used to be like we used to sell the drugs. Now we are the users. So it all started then with people talking about using drugs. So now you got this younger generation listening to that, probably from like the Lil Wayne days, the Future days, and stuff like that. Now you get this younger core like Juice WRLD and his generation. They're like, oh, okay, using drugs is okay. It's cool.
Right.
And that's where you hear a lot of music is now. So that's why they're doing it. Like you said, now it's awareness. You need to change that. So hopefully maybe we'll stop saying this so much about using drugs and using ling and drinking this. So.
Yeah.
Well, because I think people are still trying to attach that street cred. Like, you're no longer street credible if you're selling out stadiums.
Right. Yeah.
You can't be a drug dealer. You can't be a drug user.
Yeah.
At that moment, you've decided to get into music. Your entire frame of mind should just speak of where I came from, not that I'm still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really care if a rapper is... If they're still dangerous, I don't care about those guys.
But I think that's the exact
to see
different
who you're influencing too. Exactly. It's like for like me listening to it, I know in my head I'm not gonna use that.
Right.
I'm a lot older, but like some of these kids is listening to it. I go to some of these concerts. They're young. Some of these are teenagers. Right. Some of them are preteens too. On top of that, so you're thinking in that they might take it and use it. See what you're influencing.
They need to start having barbecue rappers. Guys just talk about barbecue.
Just barbecue.
Food. Just food.
Well, it just goes.
Yo,
back
let's
to
talk
this.
About that brisket.
It's right, the same old story. It's the same reason the kids got influenced by when celebrities were smoking cigarettes. That was it. Now it's just getting to much more dangerous things.
Right.
Not that cigarettes aren't dangerous in the long term, but you know when it comes to things that are killing people instantly, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a part of the culture of the entertainment world in general. But are there any other perspectives that like we haven't hit on that you were seeing on your Twitter feed that you're like, oh, I never even thought of that way, or hey, these people are seeing these things in a different way of what he's doing or why he's doing it?
It's a mixed bag. Also, when it came to the pilot thing, like in our cultures, like, you know, we had the rule about no snitching.
Right.
So the fact that he snitched, you know, it kind of like, man, if he didn't snitch, maybe Juice WRLD just would have been locked up and maybe not took those drugs.
Oh, they're saying the
report is he knew that they were coming.
Oh, they're saying that he was saying something before it all went down.
Right, yeah. We're landing right now. Like,
I thought you were saying, like, the guy died and all of a sudden he's like,
hey,
well, the reason why he did it is because
they were saying he already knew about this and he told on him and he worked with the feds on this.
I think that's ridiculous.
They say the feds actually been watching him for a while.
This is a world we live in. You're not getting away with stuff anymore. What snitches get stitched, like, shut up. You are eventually, most of these people snitch on them damn selves. Whether it's on a social media, whether it's from within their crew. Like,
Or your own music.
Like, if they really want to bust anybody, they can do it. You and your squad or your crew or your management, like, you are not smart enough to outdo the feds if they want you.
Yeah.
Like, this is a world we live in. Like, anybody thinks that they can be an old school bank robber. Like, there's cameras everywhere. They can hear everything. Like, come on.
That's why it's a mixed
ignorant.
Bag.
That's true.
Yeah, why it's a mixed bag. Because with your perspective, some people are thinking like that too. And then, but you get the other perspective where it's like, no, if he didn't snitch, then he wouldn't even took the drugs. He just probably would have went to jail or something like that. And he still would have been alive. So
I will give you a positive outcome for all this.
Okay.
Since all three of us here are dads.
Yep.
I didn't learn about drugs when I was a kid until I was a New York Mets fan. I was from New York when I grew up.
Mm.
And until Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry got busted for cocaine and drugs is when my parents had that conversation. I was 6 years old.
Right.
So if you are a parent, you could use this opportunity to have that conversation with your kids.
Totally.
Yeah.
And if my son got a little bit older and knew who Juice WRLD was.
Right.
Yeah. Same.
Then I would say, hey, listen, here's a, I mean, it's a bad thing that this happened to him, but Now it's time to educate you on why you should stay away from these
things. Keep in mind, too, different cultures like this, that's the life. In anybody's culture, whether no matter what race you are, there is a different lifestyle.
But maybe it's
in their home. It's not on TV. It's in their home.
But maybe that this is a time for somebody to speak to that child who, like, you know, maybe I'm a parent who just is not making a lot of money. I'm in a rough situation. I don't want my kid involved in this. And here's that time for us to have that conversation.
Yeah, I agree. For sure. Totally agree. Always an opportunity. Every bad situation is an opportunity to talk about something good.
In the meantime, I believe MC Porkchop is the name I'm going to
take. You're next. I'm going to take that. Stay away from the lean, bro. I know you got to get out of here. So, like, if we got like two or three more minutes.
You good? Yeah.
The Nick Cannon and Eminem is the last thing. This is so funny. I listened to the Nick Cannon. So Nick Cannon put out a diss track, right? A quote unquote diss track to Eminem. I think it's a big publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Like, because he invited
Eminem started it, though. Right.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. So no, Eminem okay, break it down for me.
Because he banged Mariah Carey, right?
That's where it ties to.
Okay, I thought you meant right now, like today.
So Eminem, well, they beefing back then, too.
Right.
But then Eminem brought it back up again.
Oh, he did.
So it was an album, I think he was on Fat Joe's new album. Fat Joe just dropped an album.
Okay.
Mr. Terrence Scott leaned back. And he was on a verse, and he talked about Mariah Carey again.
Okay.
And then pretty much he talked about Nick Cannon, too.
So this is old school Eminem, Christina Aguilera,
but that's
calling
what,
people
out. Yeah.
Right,
okay. And people love that Eminem.
I love that Eminem.
So
love
actually, it was a dope verse, and he came at it. So Nick Cannon responded.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Cannon has his morning show or whatever that. So he responded, and he pretty much said, like, I'm up for the challenge. Now, he even admitted to himself, I probably can't out-rap you. But
no, you definitely can't out-rap
but
him.
He's like, but I can beat you up. That's what he was saying.
Like, fight him?
Then he also challenged him to come to his show, Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can come here and we can, you know, let's talk about it. Like, we could
huge ratings.
So, obviously, but it makes Nick relevant. So, of course, here comes the publicity. I'm going to keep talking about it.
Same
that's
way it made Machine Gun Kelly
and
relevant.
I'm telling you.
That's true.
He's just recently dropped, like, obviously, you say you heard the first one. And he got all his friends on there from Wildin' Out. Some of them from Wildin' Out.
Yep.
And then now he came out with another one, like, I would say not too long ago. He just released another. He's going to keep releasing, he said, until he responds. And only thing Eminem has responded with is just, he pretty much responded on Twitter, like, come
on.
Yeah,
he laughed at him.
He
and said, I forgot what exactly he responded with. He said something about, let me see if I can find it.
Because the lyrics was talking about pretty much, he was like.
Well, it's about time someone tried to bring that out of Eminem. He went from really lame and Nick Cannon's funny.
I
want to bring that out.
I like this Nick Cannon. I mean, not Nick Cannon.
Eminem.
I do like Nick Cannon. I do like this Eminem.
Well, we talked about this last week.
The funny Eminem.
Because Eminem was, I agree with you. Eminem, to me, was kind of falling off, and I was like, I'd like to come back with you and then, like joke on you. That's what made him famous.
Yes. The famous stuff was the Moby and
And I'm all for artists growing and all that stuff, but, like, you know, you could still put in a piece of what made you.
This pop culture, give it to me.
It's not that he can't do it anymore. Eminem is just not the angry Eminem anymore. He's like, my life is good. Like, I'm just talking about what I am.
I think he needed something like that to fuel him because the last album was actually really good.
He's a guy where I think drugs benefited his career because he was a lot funnier.
He got out of it though.
I know.
Like,
so then he became sober and angry, and now he's.
I don't know if it was the drugs.
Making a lot
drugs
of, like,
made him happier.
Yeah.
Like more like the pop songs with the singing with the pop stars and stuff like that with Rihanna and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. So he just came back. He said all he did was tweet. I demand an apology, Nicholas. You've made my gardener so jealous.
Yeah.
I never had a chauffeur. He said something. He said, stop laying on my D.
Yep.
That's funny.
Because in there, he said something about a chauffeur told Nick Cannon that he was hooking up with a dude in the car or something.
Yeah. 50 Cent got involved too and stuff
like
that. Yeah.
That's 50 Cent.
Pretty much had Eminem's back said.
Of course he did.
Yeah. And then Nick responded to him
too. There's no beef. Can we just agree? There is no beef between Nick Cannon and Eminem.
I don't think it is. I think this is all in good fun. I think that's
it's good.
I think Nick's taking it as, like, this is all in good fun because in his head, he's like, he didn't really
those
say
two are not
bad.
Getting in a gang war,
no,
right?
No.
Like,
Nick
Cannon is so far away from street level on that, and Eminem is probably even farther away. The guy is the only rapper in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Like, this guy is.
The most that this will actually bring on is maybe they'll have a really intense game of, like, laser tag.
Dude, I will think it'll be a great.
It's literally just
Wildin'
pure
Out.
He literally got a video of him saying, like, with the, like, two glass bottles, like Diddy back in the day when he was like, bad. Boys.
Right.
Literally, he's doing the same thing. Like, you know, Marshall will come out and play. And
weird. Nick Cannon has a brand new show to promote, and now he's going after the most, you know, the person that brings the most gossip and most talk in the rap game. Not a coincidence, people.
True.
Yeah, I will watch that. True. Like, literally, I'm like tuning into Nick Cannon's like show more now just because.
Yeah, he got you. He tricked me.
He got me. Like, I'm up there looking at stuff from Nick Cannon. Which, you know what?
I do watch it on YouTube. I don't watch it on TV, but I do watch the YouTube clips.
You know what, Eminem? You suck. Yeah, I said it.
Set up.
That's my diss track.
Yeah.
That's my diss track. I diss to come on the show.
Maybe
bet
he'll come
you
right
won't.
At you. Yep.
Bet you won't.
Tag him. Tag him.
Tagged.
Tag him.
All right, Brandon. You keep us up on Black Twitter next week.
No problem.
Okay?
Anytime. Pleasure. All
right. And Dan's going to go start following people.
I was going to say, it's time for me to start refollowing some people.
All right. Just follow certain people. I'll let you know. I got
I like Scoop Jackson.
Scoop. Yeah, see,
I love Scoop. That's a friend of mine.
Don't drop names like
that. That's my guy.
Yeah, okay.
All we do is talk about barbecue.
Oh, yeah, he's talking about being the real snitch of Tekashi.
Thanks for making it all the way to the end. I know it sounds super cheesy, but if you can, like and subscribe. Maybe drop a 5-star rating. All that stuff helps to be seen. Not that necessarily that's the goal, but it's not the goal. If you like it, tell your friends about it. That's all. Thanks for listening.